Hi guys, welcome to Bonnie Time. Today's conversation is with Charity Rios. She is the author of the children's book, My Heart's Garden. It's a really special book for kids, and there's a workbook that goes along with it. They're beautiful, and they have really fun illustrations. Go ahead and order that for the small people in your life from Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and leave a great review. Charity and I got into talking about just her creative process and just the tenacity of facing rejection and being faithful and just obedient to come through with this calling. She also just has a really special heart for taking really big adult themes that she's had to walk through some really hard things in her life and stripping it back to its simplest form that really we could all learn from, that really minister to the heart of kids. So I love this conversation with her. You guys should go follow her. As always, please like and rate and review. Leave a review. It means so much to me. And also just share this on your socials or in your story. You guys, we have so many fun things coming up this spring and summer in the podcast. I can't wait to tell you more about them. Next week is actually my birthday, so I am the guest on the podcast, and you guys will hear more of my story. So keep listening.
Hi, Lou. Thanks so much for having me on your podcast today. I'm so excited. I am Charity Rios, and it's great to meet everyone listening out there. And I am a boy mama times four. I have four boys, ages 6, 4, 2, and 6 months. And so life is crazy and stinky and wonderful. I love my boys. Yes, but it does get a little stinky. And I'm married to a wonderful man. We've been married for almost 8 years. And I live in Texas, the middle of Texas, but I am originally from the Seattle, Washington area. So I'm kind of a transplant here. And I've done kind of a lot of different things in my life. I got married kind of later in life at like age 29. And so before that, I worked in higher education. I worked at several different colleges and universities, helping a lot of freshman students kind of figure out life in some different capacities as like an academic advisor, and then also doing some counseling with freshman students. Okay. And I've also been a church planner and a children's pastor. And okay. I've always had a love of writing. And so I'm excited to get to share with you a little bit about my first, I'm calling it my book baby, that's been brought into the world.
Beautiful.
The process has felt like birthing a baby.
I have heard that. Yes, yes. So this freshly was released on March 8th, right?
Yes, yes, ma'am, it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the title is My Heart's Garden.
My Heart's Garden.
Yeah, the illustration is beautiful. The story is really, really sweet. My kids are really loving it already.
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing that. Yeah. The best review I could get.
I know. I think it's such a pure review from like a 6 mm-hmm. and a 7-year-old who are super drawn into it. So I was like, you can't fake that.
They'll tell you what's up if they like it or not.
If they don't like it,
for sure.
Right. Yes. Right. So I would love you to maybe back up and tell me like where you came up with like the seed in your heart seed, pun intended, of gardening. The seed in your heart to like start this book, and what is the story behind the story that made you decide like this is the right time for my first book?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the book My Heart's Garden, really just like a very broad overview. It is teaching kids in a fun, relatable way to do something called tending your heart. And tending your heart, very simply, is just a Christian spiritual discipline that you can do in your own heart with God. And it's learning how to expose the lies of the enemy, remove those, and then receive the truth of God's word and God's voice in exchange. And so as a young adult, I went through some pretty painful situations, just like all of us have been through, you know, trials and pain in our life. And a couple of those things that were really dramatic losses for me were losing my father to suicide about 11 years ago.
Wow.
And before my oldest son was born, we lost a couple of babies to miscarriage. And then, of course, just like all of us, you know, there's just trials and disappointments that life throws at us. And I was doing something called prayer ministry at my church, where they really help guide you through a conversation with God to address like different points of pain in your life. And they teach you this process called tending your heart, so that you're not always having to like go to a prayer ministry session or go to a counselor all the time to get the healing that you need. Those things are awesome. I'm all about good biblical counseling. I'm all about just this beautiful ministry at my church called prayer ministry. I mean, those things are powerful catalysts for healing. But I think we all know that, like, you know, we can't always sit with our counselor every day, you know, or we can't always like sit with our wise Christian mentor every day. Like, there's going to be like problems and trials that come up in our life, and we need practical tools how to address those every single day. And so this simple process of tending your heart was really pivotal in my healing journey of walking through these major griefs and losses. And and through it, I started realizing lies that I was believing about God, lies that I was believing about myself. I was able to get rid of those and repent of those things and really receive the truth that God had for me in His Word, and really renew my mind in that way. And also learn how to hear His voice better and to hear the truth that He specifically had for me. And so one night I was nursing my third born son. So this was like 2 years ago, and literally in the middle of the night. And so if we have any nursing moms out there, you know how like delirious you are in the middle of the night. I know you're familiar with this feeling, Lou. We're going through it right now with our babies. And I was just sitting there and I just started thinking about how I wanted to teach my kids this process of tending their heart. And I was like, if my kids knew how to deal with just like the daily disappointments of life, to deal with anger, to deal with anxiety, like all of these frustrations, to deal with hurt and disappointment that's going to come up in their life, and pain and grief that we don't want our kids to go through, but we know it's going to happen at some point. Yeah. If I could teach them how to do this as children, then they would be saved from like the years of work that like took me to kind of like unravel some of these lies that I was believing about myself and about God and about other people, you know?
Right.
So I was like, I can't really think of a resource, you know, like that I've heard of to teach kids how to do this process. And I was like, well, maybe I should just write a book about that. And literally 3 a.m. in the morning, middle of the night, these like rhyming, like words just popped into my head. And like this very rough storyline for what is now My Heart's Garden popped into my head. And I was like, what is going on? Like, so I just grabbed my phone and I started like writing down every word that I was like hearing in my head as fast as I could. And, you know, it wasn't the complete book. I worked on it over the next several months. But it was the start of something, like a story that I really feel like that, God just like helped just spark inside of me, because I really feel like He wants kids to be able to know how to do this process so they can like be free. And so that's how this all started. It really just felt like it was a story that God had given me and that I needed to bring into the world. And it really felt like there was a lot of obstacles to getting it out there, but it always felt like if I didn't keep going, if I didn't keep trying, like that I honestly would be disobeying God, you know? And so in spite of the different obstacles and things that happened and had to be overcome, I just was like, this is something that God wants kids to have and parents to have and grandparents and teachers and mentors and children's pastors, like just a way to teach our kids how to get rid of the lies and receive the truth of God's word and His voice. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell me what it was like inside of you to take these big ideas that are walking you through these big adult themes mm-hmm. and boil it back to where a really small child could understand it?
Yeah. That's a really awesome question. I think that the deeper that I have gone with Jesus in my own heart and in my own healing, the more simple everything has become.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that because of my own journey with the Lord of healing and going through like asking these questions every day, multiple times a day, you know, like sometimes while I was doing dishes or driving, you know, like once I learned this process that is actually really simple, but can handle very, very complex hurt and problems,
yeah.
I was able to see like, this is so easy that a child can do it. You know, like I can do this in my heart with God while I'm doing the dishes, and I can have like freedom right now while I'm doing dishes. And so why can't a child do this? And I also just was able to, you know, start at that time in my life, start talking really with my oldest child about hearing from God and like start trying to lead him through these, some of these conversations where he was like hearing God's voice for himself. And I just realized, and also from my experience as being a children's pastor and a teacher, that kids are so good at hearing God's voice way yeah. better than adults. That's because true. They're not filtering through all of these, this like baggage and this junk and bad experiences at the church and their own like lies that they're believing about God and lies they're believing about themselves. You know, like it's like the younger they are, the purer they are. And the Bible says like the pure in God will see him. Like, and so I just realized like, wow, my 4-year-old can hear from God. And I can teach him how to do this and he can hear from God. And so he can act, he can take his hurt to God and God can give him something in exchange for his hurt. Like this seems like a really hard thing because it is, but at the same time I was like, but it's actually so simple that like my child can do it.
Yeah. I think I'm finding that out too. When my kids ask me questions, the simplest, most stripped back answer is usually what seems to be the truest of God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm learning yeah. every day, like, why have I convoluted this so much?
Right.
The child, like he keeps saying to us over and over again, like, come to me like a child and have mm-hmm. child faith. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, my kids are teaching me, especially this
yes.
last year.
Yes, I feel that way all the time. My kids will say things and it'll be just like a truth bomb has gone off and I'm like, oh my goodness, I just got saved again.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Wow.
I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm reading through the Gospels and I know how much Jesus uses like farming and mm-hmm. planting parables. And I have noticed like so many truths within using, I guess, the land and gardening and planting. So what was your connection to that? And is that part of the like adult prayer that you learned, or is that just sort of what entered your mind as you were writing for the kid book?
Right. I guess the adult version I learned did not have like an analogy to gardening per se. But the title of like the Christian spiritual discipline I learned, like tending your heart, you know, obviously it lends itself to a gardening analogy. Mm-hmm. And I realized that as I was thinking about everything I had learned is that it like literally directly applies to gardening, you know, like if mm-hmm. your heart is holding on to fear, you know, like if your heart is holding on to unforgiveness, if there is pain in your life that has been undealt with, if those things have not been tended to,
yeah.
Then they're going to, you know, like the analogy I make in the book is that it's like a weed that's going to choke the seed. And so the analogy I make in the book is that like there are seeds of identity that have been placed in every single one of us. And the lies are what the weed is that chokes those seeds of identity. And it is not going to grow if those weeds are there. And so that's why we're actually instructed in scripture to tend to our hearts.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, like, we can like love Jesus and have salvation, you know, and go to heaven someday, which is awesome, but we're not going to experience the abundant life that's promised to us in scripture if we're not continually like tending to our heart. And so the more I thought about, I guess, just the spiritual process that I had been through in my journey with Jesus, mm-hmm. the more I realized this is exactly like gardening. And maybe I was able to make the analogy because honestly, I'm horrible at gardening. I'm not very good at keeping up with like menial tasks or like rote tasks that you have to do every single day. And so it is hard for me to like continually be like, oh, I have to put in another load of laundry. I have to put in, okay, gotta do the dishes again, you know, every day it's right there. And so that's why I honestly don't really enjoy things like gardening, because it's that constant like tending, you have to like keep up with it. And so honestly, it's probably just so many plants that have died because I've kind of forgotten about them that made me realize like, this is what happens in our heart when we just like try to like forget about things, like that really painful experience that happened, that emotion that keeps coming up, you know, that's bothering us, when we just kind of try to forget it. It really is like, you know, all the plants that I've had that I just sort of forgot to water, forgot to weed, you know, and they just, they died, you know.
You guys, I wanted to remind you that there's still a few spots left for the Creative Sailor Retreat happening June 11th through the 14th. Come create, rest, and feast with us. If you're interested and want more details, you can DM me or you can email creativesailorretreats@gmail.com.
And so I mean, I also just feel like part of it was really sweet just seeing how God like leads us in the creative process, because there were just times when I was like writing the story where I was like, I feel like God gave me that idea, you know, like he put that like picture in my mind and mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't even take credit for it. You know, like I'm not saying it's like divine, like the Bible, I'm not saying that at all, but I am just saying like, I do believe that as a believer, when we're journeying with God, like he will sometimes just give us ideas that we're like, oh, wow. Like, I don't think I could have come up with that on my own, you know? Yeah. And that's just how I felt. Like, I just felt like I was like creating with him this story. And honestly, I just feel like it's because he wants kids to know how to do this so much. So
I love that. Can you talk a little bit about your creative process? You mentioned like facing opposition. Can you tell me what that has been like inside of you? I mean, because a lot of creatives, I think, listen to this podcast and like a lot of us feel like, I know this was put inside me, but it feels like a giant mountain to keep going. And then the imposter syndrome knocks you down.
Yes.
So will you talk to me a little bit about what that process has been like for you?
Yeah.
Even though you feel like you were given such a gift of inspiration.
Right. Absolutely. So I first got the idea and then I was set to go to a writer's conference probably like 6 months after I got the idea and meet with some kind of like a you know, some kind of professional in the publishing industry. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get this book ready to go in tip top shape, worked on it, hired a professional children's book editor to edit it because it's written in rhyme. And this was the first time for the most part, I don't normally write in rhyme. I don't consider myself a poet, but that's sort of how the words came. And so I spent some time learning a little bit about rhyme and poetry, and then also working with an editor where she really helped me tighten it up and make sure it was like rhythmically and correct and rhyming correct. And I'm probably not even using all the right words because, like I said, I'm like amateur, but, we worked together on it and I felt really good about it, very confident in it, had early readers read it, you know, that liked it. And so I was like, okay, this is it. Got my pitch together. I went to this writer's conference and I met with a children's book editor, and she loved the story idea. She loved me. I was like, so encouraged. I was like, this is it. You know, like, yes. I put in this work and God has led me to the right person and dun, 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 you know?
Yes.
And so she's like, please, I want you to submit your manuscript and we'll let you know in, I think it's like 3 or 4 months. It's a long time. I was like, okay, great. But I left the conference and I was like, okay, I know I shouldn't just put all my eggs in that basket. So I'm going to also reach out to agents. I'm going to reach out to other publishing houses. And so I worked really hard to pitch myself to other agents. I talked to every single person that I possibly could have a connection with in writing, which isn't, I do not have very many connections, but I tried every connection I could find. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of silence to my emails to different agents and publishing houses. A lot of no responses, you know, kind of a bummer. Sure. I got a couple of straight up rejections. Some were just kind of like very formal, you know, and like just they weren't very specific. It was just kind of like whatever, you don't want to represent this, whatever. And somebody even said like, basically, we don't think anybody's going to read this. Or I was like, okay, it kind of stings, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. I actually saved that email because I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. But anyway. Yeah. And then there's a lot of publishing houses that won't even look at your manuscript unless you have an agent. And I had a really encouraging conversation with a Christian agent and she like loved the story. She was ahead of this whole Christian agency, but she was like, I just am not pitching children's books right now, but this is an incredible story. And I was just like, ugh. So it just felt like I was getting so close. I was like, that's okay. Because I talked to this editor and she loved it. So like, surely her, you know, email is coming that says we're going to publish it. And so that day comes and I get the email that says, we're not publishing your book and no reason why. And I was like, oh, bummer.
Yes.
And so during that time, though, I had been having some conversations with God about the book and the project. And I had felt like that he was telling me that I needed to get this book translated into different languages and also produce a workbook to go along with it. Because mm-hmm. it's great with the kind of story it is. It's a really engaging, fun story, but it's also a teaching tool. And I realized that if there wasn't a workbook to go along with it, some of the concepts might not be able to be as reinforced over time as if you were just reading the book versus doing a whole workbook where you're like going through the process with your child over and over again every single day, basically this tending your heart process. And so I felt like the Lord was saying to do that. And then I also started listening to a podcast about self-publishing. And then I get this final, sort of felt like final rejection email. And I was like, well, if I'm a first-time author, even if I get a traditional publishing deal, they're probably not going to publish my book into different languages because they just don't really do that with first-time authors. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to also do a workbook because they're not going to know how my book's going to do. And right. And so I was like, well, if God is saying to do this, and then I need to do what he's telling me to do. Like he's my ultimate publisher, you know, like he's the boss. And so I need to obey him and what he's saying to do. And he's also closing all these other traditional publishing doors. And I like fully believed that he could open them if they were supposed to be open, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I did not believe the lies that no one would read the book because I was also talking to other moms that are my friends or just moms I would meet at the park. And I would like share the story idea. And they were like, I love that story. Can you like, I'll buy your book, you know? And so I was like, well, there's at least 20 people that want to buy the book. So I have to do it now, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And so that was actually, I feel like if you're struggling as a creative, if you can find the courage, and I know it takes courage to share your idea with other people that might be your target audience, it can actually be really helpful. It was very helpful for me to find motivation to keep going because I was like, there's moms that want this book. It doesn't matter to me what this agent said. Like, they don't know every mom on the planet Earth, and these moms want this book. So I must carry on, you know?
Yes.
So, and I was like, and God's saying do this, so I got to keep going, you know? And so ultimately it became a matter of obedience to me. Like there were so many times when I'd be like, I want to give up. This is really hard. And also I'm having babies and I'm tired and I just want to take a nap during their nap time instead of working on this project. But it was like, God, can I just give up? You know, maybe this is for 10 years from now. And he would just be like, nope, you got to keep going. And I was like, okay, like I have to obey, you know, I have to obey him because I know that there's blessing in obedience. There's joy in obedience. And I'm telling my kids they need to obey God. So I have to obey, you know?
Yes.
And so I decided I'm going to pursue self-publishing these books. But the problem I ran into was money, because I can't draw anything. Even my kids make fun of my stick figures. So I was like, great. I have this story. I feel really good about it, but I don't have an illustrator and it costs a lot of money to hire an illustrator. And I felt like the Lord was like, you need to find your illustrator. Like you don't have the money right now, but you need to at least start looking for them and figure out who you want to use. And it felt like a Red Sea moment for me as a creative, as just a follower of Jesus, where it was like, I'm going to walk right to the Red Sea and I'm going to believe it's going to open when I need it to, you know? Yes. 'Cause I was like, who does this? Like I've been rejected by all of these agents. And also I don't have any money for an illustrator, but this is what God is saying to do. So I'm going to start looking for an illustrator. Looked all over for an illustrator. I really wanted a believer and someone with a certain like art style I had in mind. I was having a really hard time finding that combination. Reached out to like 3 different people. They all rejected me. it wasn't personal. They loved the project, but they all had different things going on in their professional or personal lives. They couldn't take the project. But by this time, and this was March of last year. So the pandemic had just started. Everything shut down. I'm pregnant with my 4th. And I was just like, this is nuts. I remember one day I had just gotten my rejection from the 3rd illustrator who I couldn't even pay. Like, I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to pay this person, but I'm still asking if they want to do this project and believing the money's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just got rejected by this 3rd person. And I literally was walking to my mailbox and the sky was like getting stormy. And I was like, okay, I'm crazy. I haven't been hearing God. And actually this story is horrible. And God's saving me from embarrassment by not having to publish. And like, this is awful. You know, it's dramatic. Of course I'm pregnant. We're all quarantined together. You know, and I'm just like, what am I doing with my life? Yes. I'm walking to my mailbox. I open my mailbox and I have a letter from a friend that lives across the country. And inside the letter said, "Hey, Charity, I knew you were writing a book, but I thought it was for adults." And then one morning I was spending time with God and he told me that you were writing a book for kids and that the book was going to change the world and that you needed money. And this family wrote me a check for a lot of money. I sent it in the mail.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And then it like started raining, you know, and I was like, I'm like Noah who built the ark.
Wow.
It was maybe not quite that dramatic, but wow, it felt dramatic at the moment. I was like, I built the ark. God sent the rain.
That's so cool.
I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going forward, you know? And I feel like that's how it is in our lives with God, whatever it is he's called us to as creatives, as followers of him. Like there's so many times where it feels like I need a miracle, you know, like to really do what he's called us to do. Like we're going to be in situations where we need a miracle and that's not like comfortable. And I don't like hanging out there where I need a miracle. I just prefer to like be in comfort land. But I've just noticed that in my life with him, that when he calls me to do something, there's always going to be those moments where I'm like, I'm at the end of myself. Like I literally cannot make this happen. I don't have the resources. I don't have whatever the connection, God, you're going to have to do it. But he's going to like push us to the edge of our comfort zone where we're not just sitting there. We're like still moving forward, not really always sure how it's all going to work out. Okay. So I get this check, which is amazing. And so then almost immediately afterwards found an illustrator. And also I sold t-shirts to fund these books.
Oh my gosh, you're amazing. That's crazy.
Other people, I mean, people bought t-shirts to fund the book. Some other people just out of the blue made financial donations towards it, like unsolicited, just God was like moving on their heart. And so I just say that this like book was funded by like the people of God, you know, it's just his baby. And so my encouragement to every person out there that's a creative listening or even if you don't consider yourself creative, but like God has put a dream in your heart, is that like, I know what it feels like to be like, I can't do this. And I've been rejected, and like, to feel like a fool, you know, that's honestly how I felt. And to even have just like the establishment kind of reject you is hard, especially as like a creative, but to know like, it's okay to keep going back to that question, like, Lord, am I supposed to do this? You know? And then, and even just ask him for like, what's the next step? What's the next thing you want me to do? You know, do you want me to pause? Do you want me to keep going forward? And just have that place in your heart that says, I'm willing, Lord, I'm willing. Even if I look like a fool, even if this project doesn't work out, you know, there were so many times where I was like, this just might not happen. You know, like there were still other obstacles and things that happened along the way. And I was just like, sometimes I was like, I don't even know if this is going to happen, you know, but I was like, but at least I know that when I stand before Jesus someday, I'll have been obedient, you know? And I think that's what it's come down to for me, is that like, I love creating. I get fired up about it, but if I don't have the like obedience piece in place in my heart, I just like, I can't like complete a project, you know, cause I'm very easily distracted.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us as creatives are that way, you know, like I'm an idea person. I get lots of ideas all the time. I just kind of want to chase the next like fun, exciting idea. Mm-hmm. I'm an Enneagram 7. Are you familiar with the Enneagram?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. what is your Enneagram number?
I'm a 9, I believe.
Oh, I love 9s.
Thank you. I love 7s. I strongly relate to a lot of the behavior of a 7, but when I boil back the like motivations, I think I always land on the 9.
The 9, the peace. You want the peace.
I do.
I love it.
I have a lot of that attention span, like you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a couple things that I know are more of a calling than a hobby, that it does feel like a discipline of obedience and faithfulness to like keep boiling it back to, okay, what is the next step? What is the vision that was whispered into your heart? Be faithful to it and be almost like you're saying, like you get just enough wind in your sails to be doggedly stubborn about it. And the rest, you know, all the other ideas can kind of come and go.
Yeah.
And some of them you hang on to, and some of them you can be like, oh, that was an idea for yesterday afternoon and now it's gone.
Right. And I have lots of those.
Me too.
And that's a way that, you know, honestly, a lot of times I know that I'm really supposed to be doing something is because I'll have more of a laser focus. Of course, I'll have moments where I'm discouraged for sure. Lots of moments where I want to chase the next like fancy object or just take a nap. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's like the sense inside of me. I know I'm supposed to do this. And so it does help me have that laser focus. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all I can credit that with is the Holy Spirit, because only he can like help us overcome like our greatest weaknesses and our greatest strengths that can be weaknesses, you know?
they're usually one in the same.
They're definitely one in the same, for sure.
So I'm really thankful. I mean, I'm thankful for that example and that inspiration, and I'm thankful for all, on behalf of all the kids that this is going to reach and speak to, and it already is. The one thing that struck me as I read through this with my kids is all the turmoil and anger and division that we've seen raging around us in the last year would be silenced if we would each tend our own heart's garden. I think we are doing a lot absolutely of tending someone else's heart's garden.
Yes. Yeah. Telling other people how to tend their garden.
Exactly. And I just really appreciated, like, if my kids can be disciplined enough to, like, tend their heart and the thoughts and the lies and the identities mm-hmm. that come and go of their heart, they're going to, yeah, like you said, they're going to experience a life that's fuller and has more joy and is more rooted in the truth, to where they're not going to be thrown into, I guess, the anger and the angst of culture, I hope.
And the confusion. There's just so much confusion out there. And I mean, really, in my heart is just, I don't want my kids, my friends' kids, and all the kids that I don't know, I don't want them to be confused. You know, there's just a spirit of confusion and, like you're saying, division that has, like, come over our nation and our world, really.
Yeah.
And I feel like it really comes back to the basics. Like we were talking about earlier, it really is simple. Like our lives with God, it's, you know, God is so complex that we can never understand him, but he's also so simple that a child can understand him. And so if our kids have that, like, basic understanding of, like, this is who God has made me to be. And mm-hmm. I know I have scripture to back it up, and I've heard his voice speaking to me, and I've heard my parents speaking it to me, you know, my teachers, whoever it is that's using this resource with their kids, I've heard them speak these words of truth over me that are in line with God's heart and character and word. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be swayed. Like, there will be hard times that come, but they will not be swayed. And if they are, you know, aware of, like, the lies and the schemes of the enemy that come, you know, when they face, like, disappointment and grief in their life and obstacles in their life, and they're, like, aware of, like, okay, there's a father of lies and there's a father of truth. And, you know, what I love, I don't know. I hope that doesn't sound bad. What I love about this story is that, Zion, like, he, in the story, he tells the lies to get out. Like, mm-hmm. he goes and visits his granny and the gardener, his granny in the garden, and his granny introduces him to Father Gardner, who represents our perfect Father God. Mm-hmm. And really, Father Gardner empowers him to tell the lies to get out. And I feel like if our kids can have that understanding, like, I don't need anybody else to, like, tell the lies to get out. I'm responsible for myself, and through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, I can have power over the lies of the enemy and tell them to get out. And I can receive the truth of God's word and his voice, you know? And I feel like if our kids, and honestly, adults in this world,
yes,
like, spent time with those concepts every single day, like, the entire world would look different. I actually was just on a podcast being interviewed by someone who's an author, but he's also a counselor by profession and training. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I looked at your workbook, and, you know, I think that actually if adults use this workbook, like, the world would be in a better place.
Oh, that's a high, like, compliment.
I was like, yeah, I was like, I mean, we all need this. I mean, I have done this in my own heart with the Lord. Like, yes, there's, like, really fun pictures and illustrations and, like, puzzles and fun activities to, like, engage kids and draw them in. But, like, the heart of these questions that we're asking God and working through is things that we all need to work through in our own lives.
Yeah. I think it's so needed and inspired to start with the next generation and start giving them tools to resonate with truth. And that's just really needed. There's a lot of resources popping up for us because we're all trying to figure it out as we go. Mm-hmm. But I'm really thankful that you're doing the work, and the artwork is so engaging. It really is beautiful.
Yes. My illustrator, Anna Brennan, did the picture book. She did an amazing job. And then a different illustrator did the interior on the workbook just because it was a different type of illustration. But her name is Carissa Burns. Okay. And they are both phenomenal women of God, and, like, women of God that love to use their talents to glorify him. So it was a joy to work for them. They really, I mean, have them work on this project, they really carried it deeply in their heart and were so prayerful through the whole process. And you can see that in the illustrations.
Yeah. Well, yes, everyone go order. And just on Amazon, what's the best way to order My Heart's Garden?
The best way to order My Heart's Garden and the My Heart's Garden workbook is on Amazon. Now, those two are paperback. If you are a hardback children's picture book person, I know some people have that preference, you can get the hardback version of the picture book on barnesandnoble.com.
Okay.
But the workbook is only going to be on Amazon. And if you don't care about the hardcover, you want it in 2-day prime, whatever, then you can go get it on Amazon. Yeah.
And leave a review, because it's going to...
Yes.
It's going to help more kids have this in their hands. So as we close out, would you just, maybe in a short thought or paragraph, tell me just your heart's dream for this book, and maybe even speak to the kids reading it a little bit.
Yeah, my heart for any child that reads this is that you would know deep in your heart the incredible way that God has made you, that He literally has put seeds inside you that make you unique, that there's no one in the world like you, and your perfect Father God is the one that can tell you how He's made you, and He has made you perfectly and wonderfully. And I just want every kid and parent to know that you have everything you need in Christ Jesus. You have everything you need to defeat and overcome the lies of the enemy. You have the Word of God, which is your sword, and you can hear His voice. You can hear God's voice. In John 14:4, it says that we're His sheep, and that His sheep hear His voice and they know His voice. And that's who you are if you follow Jesus. You're a sheep, and He's the good shepherd, and He loves to talk to you. And so if there's any problem or any question that you ever have, you can always go to Jesus, and He will talk to you and He will help you. He can help you through anything in life.